Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we'll talk about the latest announcements, the AI announcements from OpenAI, and maybe we'll get to the Google announcement. And on the show today, we have Peter Dressler. He's the executive director of the Hawaii Center for AI, and I think he might have brought a guest along with him. So we'll see how his little AI pet is going to respond to some questions. But hey, Peter, I want to welcome you to Bite Marks Cafe.
Aloha, Bert. Thank you very much for having me on today. It's great to be back.
And Peter, who's your little guest there?
All right. So I guess we're going to give this a try now.
Give it a shot. Yeah.
For those who don't know, one of the big announcements this month, just briefly introducing it, was ChatGPT, the world's sort of leading and most prominent AI product out there, was upgraded in the middle of the month. And it was a big kind of unexpected event. And what happened is ChatGPT or OpenAI, the company that makes ChatGPT, integrated voice technology into ChatGPT. And so there was a lot of interest in that, both positive and there was a little bit of negative press. We can talk about that as well. Mm-hmm. But let's see if we can ask ChatGPT to join the conversation. This is always a no-no doing a tech demo live on the air, but let's go for it.
I'm always into a little bit of fun and innovation, and why not give it a shot?
All right. So, hey, ChatGPT, you're live on the air with Bite Marks Cafe Show on Hawaii Public Radio. Could you please say hello to all the listeners?
Hello, Hawaii. This is ChatGPT on Bite Marks Cafe Show. Mahalo for tuning in.
All right.
Okay.
So that kind of worked?
Yeah, that kind of worked. And then maybe we can feed it a couple more interesting questions. I mean, there is a little bit of a lag time, so there's some dead air. I just want to let our listeners know that, you know, we are kind of having a little bit of fun with ChatGPT and some of the capabilities of the new chat feature. But before we get into a little bit more about the discussion, Peter, you know, I've had you on a couple months ago, and it was kind of at the launch of your Hawaii Center for AI. And I do want to give you a chance to share with our listeners, what is it that you find your purpose in life? What is it that you're trying to give people in terms of, you know, their understanding of AI through the Hawaii Center for AI?
Well, now, first I will say, Bert, that my purpose in life, I would mention my family is definitely first, but this job with Hawaii Center for AI has been definitely a close second in terms of the ability to connect with our community and reach out to people across the islands, across Oahu and lately across the other islands or neighbor islands as well. So as we discussed a couple months ago, Hawaii Center for AI is a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. We're dedicated to the beneficial use of AI for all Hawaii's residents and communities. So we emphasize the word all there. We want to make sure that everyone's included. I want to mention that since you had me on a couple months ago, the center has added 8 volunteers, including one we found through Bite Marks Cafe the last time I was on. So I want to send a shout out to Yvonne, who's a terrific volunteer. And then we've also held a dozen more workshops, trainings, meetings, one-on-one discussions, and those are all designed to help people across the islands get started with AI. It's a lot of times absolute beginners, or in some cases, we work with power users just to get more out of using the tools. And so that actually is a pretty good segue into what happened this month.
Well, you know, one of the things that happened, and, you know, there was a OpenAI and ChatGPT 4.0 announcement, and I remember calling you up, and you had mentioned to me that you were just in the process of either concluding your meetup, or, you know, thought I was going to ask you something about the meetup. So coincidentally, you know, you're having these meetups that are pretty timely. Maybe you can share a little bit about what the meetup was about, which would then kind of lead into what was the whole OpenAI announcement about.
Right, right. So the meetup, we scheduled it right after, and I should say for the listeners who aren't familiar with meetup, meetup is a platform where you can schedule events. It's just an event or a workshop in a lot of cases. And so we have been having these, a lot of events for beginners, usually scheduled on Meetup. And so when the announcement dropped, actually the first few weeks of May, everything was kind of stable, and that is not always the case with AI. But when this announcement came on the 15th, I think it was actually a big surprise to a lot of people in the AI world. And so we thought, hey, you know what? We can take the meetings that we've been doing or the events that we have been doing and just try running the same ideas or the same concepts through the new product and see how it was. And so there were several things about the new model. It's called ChatGPT 4.0, four and the letter O. There's several things about it that OpenAI announced about ChatGPT, but the ones that were really impressive where the speed is much faster on the product, like more than twice as fast, I think, easily on most queries. There's a lot more capability in terms of uploading and recognizing images, and I can talk about that in a minute. And then, of course, we have the voice capability. So the voice capability led us to have basically this workshop that we had been having via text, and basically over voice. And this was like 48 hours after ChatGPT 4.0 had been released. We just reran the same stuff we had been working on. So there are a lot of new changes with OpenAI's new product, or a lot of, I guess, evolutions with the model that are really impressive. But those are the things that, that were important to our end users.
Go ahead. Peter, I wanna have you give us some little examples of perhaps how you put your ChatGPT to use in the meetups, and you know how it, like you were telling everybody, you know, how it improved from prior to the 4.0 announcement and after the 4.0 announcement. But we want to hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Peter Dressler. He's the ED over at the Hawaii Center for AI. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company, and Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the latest announcement from OpenAI, and we've got on the show Peter Dressler. He's the executive director of the Hawaii Center for AI, and he's got an AI companion with him. We might ask her some questions in a bit. Right before the break, though, we're talking a little bit about the meetups, Peter, that you guys do. And I guess part of what the experience is that if you have users that are interested in AI, you basically provide a forum, an environment for demonstrating a potential response from, you know, a query, right? So I think part of the first hurdle that people might have to go through is, what kind of question do I ask my AI? And prior to this announcement, there were basically the free version of ChatGPT. And then there's the ChatGPT 4, right? And everybody was like, oh, you got to pay for 4. So, you know, but it's a lot faster. Right. It's a lot better, this and that. But when the new announcement for ChatGPT 4.0 came out, it was made available to anybody, right? So anybody could use it. So I guess maybe walk us through your meetup and maybe a typical kind of query you might have posed it, and how did it present itself, and how did it improve as a result of whatever enhancements OpenAI provided to ChatGPT?
Sure, Bert. So I think you hit on a really important note about the new version of ChatGPT. That's I think, very important for users that we would typically engage with in Hawaii. And that is that the capabilities that we're talking about today are available on a limited basis, at least, for free. So all of the capabilities, including the phone apps, are available to end users for free. They are rate limited. That is to say, you can only do a few like queries or a few prompts a day, and it kind of depends on their capacity if you're not a paying customer. But for many users, this would be a terrific way to start, sort of measure their usage. We often talk about spreading it around to other models or other AI tools if you run out of capacity. So in some of the going back to your question about some of the examples that we use, so in our previous workshops, so until this like new release of ChatGPT, a lot of our workshops would start with, "Hello, ChatGPT, can you please write an email to my boss? I would like to request paternity leave for my upcoming child, and I just want to make sure to include a reference to the correct Hawaii laws about paternity leave." And so ChatGPT takes that question and outputs just a picture-perfect email with, you know, excellent citations. Another question we often ask, because we have a child at Campbell High School, we often ask, "Hey, ChatGPT, can you give us an example budget for a high school trip to Japan with, like, 10 students and, like, 3 adults and you know, these activities for this much time? And give it to us in a spreadsheet or give it to me in a table." And ChatGPT, again, does that very well. And in fact, after this latest release, does that extremely well. So I also want to do a Go Sabres shout out since I mentioned Campbell High School. So those are the kinds of queries or the kinds of like prompts we used to use.
Right.
But I have a story of the new kinds of prompts that we're seeing now that we can use voice and pictures. Remember, it's not just the voice that we just heard, but it's also we can upload photographs. If I can tell a little story about a use case that I have, and believe it or not, it's actually not from Hawaii. It's from some time I spent in American Samoa about a week ago.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was in working on a totally different project in American Samoa at the community college there last week. And since I was in Pongo over the weekend, I reached out to the library there. We frequently do interactions with libraries here in Hawaii. We're doing one on Kauai next Tuesday, and those are range from training sessions to, you know, sessions with the public. So I reached out to the Pongo or the Fuleti Barstow Public Library in American Samoa and said, "Hey, we can do a library training session." I happen to know a few of the librarians there. "And we'll do a training session all about AI, and we'll show you how we work with AI." So we set the session for a Saturday. This is like 1 week after the release of ChatGPT 4.0 with the voice and the images. Now, usually with these training sessions, we would be in a conference room. We'd be with computers and a projector and keyboards typing in a bunch of prompts. But this was just totally different, Bert. When I'm walking into the library, I'm noticing, you know, like every library, there are posters on the wall. Like there's the Apollo 11 mission poster. There's the, you know, Reading Rainbow poster. There's the Farming with Tarot poster. You can imagine, right? And so what I did was just like pointed my phone with the ChatGPT app at the Apollo 11 poster and said, "Hey, what is this all about?" And so, of course, as you can imagine, ChatGPT just starts rattling off like astronaut names, mission data, what was important about the Apollo 11. Again, this is in American Samoa. Everything worked. The connectivity wasn't a problem. It worked like a charm. It's a perfectly pleasant voice. And so by the time that was done, by the time ChatGPT stopped talking, all the librarians were standing around me. Like I knew the head librarian, but everyone had gathered around. Everyone was smiling. It was a moment. It was really something. So then the branch manager, his name is Loring, takes my phone and starts doing the same thing. He's pointing it at posters, but now he's asking questions in Samoan. And so that was really, really neat. So ChatGPT generally is pretty good with Samoan, but it gets mixed up with formal and informal, which is important in the language. And so at one point, Loring just tells the phone, hey, just keep it casual, brah, but in Samoan. And that helps. And so we're mixing up English answers to Samoan questions and Samoan answers to English questions. And, you know, I was kind of apologizing for the hiccups. Like, it isn't perfect in Samoan language. But the librarians were just, like, stunned. And they have emailed me since. They're talking about buying subscriptions, and they're going to, you know, develop programming all around this. Nothing to do with a keyboard. And it really had me thinking about, you know, what does the future really look like with AI?
No, Peter.
Peter,
I want you to continue this story, because this is a great use case of what AI can do in a situation that you pretty much did impromptu. But for our listeners tuning in, I wanted to let them know that we're talking about OpenAI. We're talking about ChatGPT 4.0. And we got Peter Dressler, and he's talking about an experience that he just recently had in American Samoa. Kind of a spur of the moment thing, right? You're pointing your phone, and the phone, obviously you had your photo app up, right? And you also in concert with that, you could actually still communicate with ChatGPT 4.0. So it was looking at the image as well as analyzing what was in the image and then responding to you with questions that you might have brought up. Is that an accurate sort of description of what was taking place in the library in American Samoa?
That's totally right, Bert. And again, pretty limited connectivity, but it still worked. And I want to mention that I was using the app. So sort of newly improved. So, or the ChatGPT app that's on both, I guess, iPhone and Android. In my case, it was Android. Doesn't matter. So all of that was working through the app, and it wasn't perfect. I can't emphasize that enough. It's not a seamless experience. The voice sometimes goes on and on. Just so the listeners understand what's happening there with the voice, like what we heard earlier on the phone was, you know, voices being spoken, but also words are scrolling down my screen. So it's basically the same thing that I would get if I typed in a question and get a typed out answer or a text answer. It's just being read out loud via voice. And that's not as smooth as it could be. But again, what to me was really, really, I don't know, powerful about that demonstration was thinking about, you know, the billions of users worldwide, billions with a B, where, you know, voice and the spoken word are going to be their primary mode of communication. And it really had me thinking about, wow, maybe this whole future of AI keyboards thing that we're all so excited about right now is actually maybe an afterthought in the future. You know, maybe voice and probably generative video. I think that may be the primary way that most human beings access AI, and it might be soon rather than later. Well, so to me, that's a really important thing about the ChatGPT release. It's not perfect by any means, but it kind of points an arrow at the future.
Well, you know, I do want to give you a chance to ask your ChatGPT assistant there another question, and I will ask you about maybe selecting an appropriate voice. Of course, I would ask for, you know, Scarlett Johansson, but you know, if you have another one, that's fine. I'll accept that. So I do want to give you a chance to maybe kind of do a little demonstration again, because I thought that was pretty cool. But we want to hold that thought. We'll be right back to continue our conversation about the latest happenings with OpenAI and ChatGPT 4.0 with Peter Dressler, Executive Director over at the Hawaii Center for AI. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors, Bavarian Motor Experts, and Chaminade University.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum, and we have right here on Hawaii Public Radio, we got Peter Dressler, Executive Director of the Hawaii Center for AI, giving us some of the latest updates on OpenAI and ChatGPT 4.0. And Peter, are you ready to ask another question to your AI assistant there?
I'll give it a shot. So give me a second here. I'm going to press the button.
Okay.
Hello, ChatGPT. Could you kindly tell me a brief story about Honu in Hawaiian language? And I'm going to let you start. Just give me a few sentences.
Aloha kako. Ea ke kahi mo'olelo pokole piliana i ka Honu. I ke kaimanawa, ua olana Honu i loko o ke kākea. O ia mau holo holona kupayanaha i maoma ia e nā akua kamoana. Hoku ke kahi Honu i kapa ia o Honu nui. Nona ka ike lohi e hōkele, mawaina o na ale kai.
All right.
Oh, so, that's pretty good. Okay, now, Peter, are you going to translate that for me?
I think you know very well, Bert, that I am not going to translate that for you. and I, unfortunately, I'm not in a position to judge the capabilities of ChatGPT's Hawaiian or Samoan or Chamorro or Carolinian language. But you can imagine probably where we're kind of thinking about and where we're going with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that I've spoken with a couple of people here locally. I won't name them, but I'm so excited to keep talking with them about the potential power of AI when it comes to storytelling and story preservation. And that could be locally for Hawaii, but I know that in my work on other Pacific islands, this is something that is of great interest to a lot of island communities across the Pacific, especially in places, even in Hawaii on our less populated islands. A lot of places, of course, don't have a ton of resources to, say, digitize and sort of promulgate and make permanent some stories from culture. And I do know that, you know, this is a discussion that needs to be approached with sensitivity and care toward, you know, the traditions and how does this relate to our, you know, needs to be sensitive to culture. But I think the promise is pretty clear, the idea that somehow we could potentially make it, you know, more permanent and more available to more people worldwide, different cultural aspects of the Pacific. And again, I'm excited about some of the discussions that as a center we've started to have with local people in positions to definitely review that language and give us an update on how good it is.
Well, I'm hoping that perhaps a listener or two that has a good proficiency in the Hawaiian language can email me and say how accurate or inaccurate that response was. And you know, Peter, this is really a very interesting use case. And I'm glad you brought up the sensitivity in terms of cultural appropriateness. And of course, you know, there are practitioners that would be the go-to storytellers of anything, you know, whether it's in Hawaiian or American Samoan. And I would hate to see an AI kind of chat function replace any of those folks, because I think, you know, the right. Human connection is so very important. So I think the work that you're doing and the fact that you've already recognized that this is not a replacement for any of those practitioners, but perhaps an augmented tool that could be used, I think it's a pretty exciting use case.
Absolutely. It's not a replacement. There has to be a human element. I don't think you could ever get the human context correct, you know, no matter how good the technology gets.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that in places, especially with fewer sort of digital resources, there's a real, real push on, especially with spoken language. And this may be borrowing more from other island locations around the Pacific, but I'm sure this is true somewhat here as well. I know this is from conversations. There's a real push to capture, you know, spoken tradition and just make it available 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now. And that, to me, would be the exciting thing. We won't be here, but maybe technology can help us make sure that the stories will be.
Now, you know, you mentioned briefly images and video and the capability of AI now transcending into the generative AI arena and creating images and music and a lot of multimedia content. And this is really being what generated by the fact that there's more of this content that the AI could actually learn from.
That's true, and that is a real, that's so that honestly, Bert, is a question mark. I would say as a center, I don't know if I want to speak totally officially, but yeah, I think what I can say officially, we would want to make sure that always content owners or content producers have their content rights respected and honored anytime that AI is accessing the content. And I think the industry has done a poor job of that so far in terms of sort of being respectful and also transparent. Transparent would be a good start, right?
Right.
But that being said, you know, the flip side of that is that we are seeing a lot of artists that are doing new things with AI in both video and images. That's a place where there are a lot of people that are affected, and it's got to be a discussion. And we've always got to be sensitive to the idea of protecting artist rights or creative rights.
So
letting artists opt out, but it's definitely something we're looking at.
Peter, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about, and I know a lot of this is being talked about at your meetups, and I know you have a couple of meetups coming up, and I want to give you a chance to share what those topics are, and if people are interested, they can go check it out. So it sounds exciting. I'd love to see some of the examples that you have in the meetup. But what's happening at your next meetup?
All right. So thank you, Bert. We have a workshop this Saturday, June 1st at 2 p.m. at Kapolei Public Library. That's going to be an AI workshop for complete beginners. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll be looking at ChatGPT. People can sign up for that event at hawaiiai.org. And then on June 4th on Kauai, we have an art and AI workshop to be held at Hoike Community Broadcasting Station. I could not be more excited about that. It's on June 4th. And if you can make it to Kauai or if you're on Kauai right now, please check that out. And all of those resources and events are on our website, hawaiiai.org.
Well, Peter, that's great. I'll put that up on our show notes. I really enjoy having you on the show again. We'll have you on again in the not-too-distant future. Peter Dressler is the executive director over at the Hawaii Center for AI. Hey, Peter, thanks for joining us today.
Aloha. Thanks so much.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about a new study on Hawaii's digital economy. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. And of course, our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HBR One every Wednesday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.